Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, ever noticed a greening on the Kennedy from O'Hare to the city and back? Changing the landscape of that journey has been the mission of Chicago's Gateway Green for nearly 35 years. Dedicated to the greening and beautification of Chicago's expressways, gateways, and neighborhoods through landscape enhancement, litter and graffiti removal, and the installation of public art. Now, their big fundraiser, the Green Tie Ball, is on Friday, September 13th. And to talk about it all is the chair of the Gateway Green. He's also the president and managing partner of Harry Carey's Restaurant Group, which owns 7 restaurants in and around Chicagoland. That's my pal, Grant DePorter. Good morning, Grant.
Morning, David.
What's going on? Gateway Green was a vision of your father, Donald DePorter, who was an executive with Hyatt. He was a man who was always very charitable and dedicated much of his time to beautifying our city. Tell us a little bit about him and his mission.
Well, he loved Chicago. He thought it was the greatest city in the world. And, you know, way back when he was with Hyatt Hotels, we moved around a lot when I was little, so we saw a lot of different cities. He opened the Hyatt O'Hare in 69, and we worked in California for a bit. We came back in 79, and on the drive-in from O'Hare, we were all commenting at the time that the Kennedy was just mud, litter, and graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
And was not a good first and last impression for people to see as they're, you know, visiting Chicago. And it took my dad a number of years to kind of get Gateway Green going. Chicago Gateway Green was, you know, like you said, dedicated to beautifying and greening the city. He had to get the federal government involved, the city, the state, everyone on the same page. So it really became a model, the first of its kind in the country. It's not just adopt a highway. We're doing, you know, planting trees, flowers, yeah, bushes, installing public art, you know, the litter and graffiti removal. We worked with the Chicago Bears recently transforming an area down in back of the yards. It's part of Star Farm, where they provide vegetables, mm-hmm, to needy people in that area. And we helped transform that area. And we've done other areas of the city, too. So all the gateways, expressways, and neighborhoods in Chicago.
And people would recognize this, obviously, by those signs that have the leaf on them. Right.
The Oak Leaf sign, right.
Yeah, the Oak Leaf sign. So they're on every going in and out. There's a sponsor listed there as well. And of course, there's always volunteer opportunities that happen after this, but there's a lot of sponsorship opportunities as well.
Right. We have about 100 expressway gardens on the expressway, Chicagoland.
Is that right? Is it that many? Wow.
Yes. Yep. And then we do, it might be a Day of Impact, different areas of the neighborhoods. In the old days, like Mayor Daley would run around and say, hey, I want you to clean up this area. And,
oh, yeah.
And we'd find like a few hundred people to go in, and then we'd do like a thank you party afterwards.
Yeah.
And I've talked with Mayor Lightfoot a couple times about just the different things we've done, and look forward to working with her.
That's great. It's not all about greenery, too. I mean, you've got artwork and sculptures along this route as well.
Right. Like when you're at O'Hare Airport and you're leaving, you'll see a sculpture that was donated by Athens in Greece. It looks like marathon runners. And then when you get off at Ohio, there's a giant statue called the Flame of the Millennium, mm-hmm, that was donated from Mexico City, part of the Sister Cities programs. And then my dad, he passed away in 1996, and Mayor Daley decided to dedicate the gateway into the city at Ohio, Orleans, and Ontario as the Donald J.D. Porter Gateway. And there's a statue there that's called Being Born. It used to be in front of Marshall Fields on State Street, and it appeared in Ferris Bueller's Day Off and Christmas Vacation. And then when they redid the State Street stuff, they needed a home for it. So they decided to put it in my dad's gateway.
I love that you still say Marshall Fields, because I won't stop myself. I can't help it. I can't help it. The Green Tie Ball, this is a huge event every single year. It's Friday, September 13th. I've known folks that just joined the planning committee so they could meet other people. Like, this is very social as well.
Right. Chicago Magazine once wrote, the number one place to meet your significant other is to volunteer and be on the Gateway Green Committee.
That's cool.
Yeah, we're responsible for a lot of marriages.
That's awesome. So tell us about the ball this year, what's going to be happening, and how people can get involved and get tickets.
Right. So this is the 28th Green Tie Ball. The theme is I Dream of Greenie, like I Dream of Genie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're at Alhambra Palace, which is on West Randolph, and it looks kind of like our theme. And we have about 25 to 30 restaurants serving food, premium bar.
That's nice, yeah.
Charitable gaming from Rivers Casino.
Will Harry Caray's be serving food there as well?
Yeah, well, absolutely.
What a surprise. Wow,
Harry Caray's has served food every year. I've been to all the Green Tie Balls. And, well, I think Harry Caray's is responsible for planting more trees than any restaurant probably in the Midwest.
Awesome.
But we also have Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy as our lead entertainment, along with Dr. Bombay. My co-chair, Lee Golub, is the drummer on Dr. Bombay.
That's awesome.
He's the one that actually bought your old headquarters. He owns Tribune Tower.
Okay. Oh, does he really now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hello. Yes, he does. I love the new logo, but it does look like there's a little bit of a war going on around that building right now. He's really cleaning it up, and I don't think it's been power washed in probably 30 years.
No, need a lot of work.
It needs a lot of love. It absolutely does. And how do folks get tickets?
Go to gatewaygreen.org. Mm-hmm. That's our website. And you can learn about Gateway Green and also buy tickets. My dad wanted to get young people involved, you know, with trying to embrace the environment and beautify Chicago. And so he thought, why not create the number one party of the year, which it has been. Like, when we were at Finkel Steel, we used to have like 3,500 people there in 100 restaurants. Jon Stewart showed up, you know, Wolfgang Puck.
So how big is this event now?
Well, we have a capacity issue. It holds 1,000 people where we are this year. So that's why people want to buy their tickets early, because it could easily sell out.
Gotcha. Very cool. Now, we talked a little bit about sponsorship opportunities, and you said we gather 100 people. How does that all work, just from a sponsorship or a volunteer's perspective?
Oh, to get involved with Gateway Green?
Yeah.
We get a lot of corporate partners, or, you know, different individuals can do it. Sponsor an expressway garden. They could go anywhere between maybe $10,000 we've had $50,000 gardens. It depends how much work someone's going to do and what area they're in.
So that's what it's based on, too. I mean, there's a fee to participate and do it, but it depends on how beautiful or how fabulous you want to make this would be how much money you're putting
in. Yeah, some areas don't have a lot of area for planting trees and bushes.
Okay.
So it's because, remember, we have everything. The Dan Ryan, the Stevenson, the Kennedy.
It's crazy.
So there's a lot of territory there. When you count physical miles, it's a lot of gardens.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the days of impact. Too, like the Bears, PNC Bank. PNC Bank and the Bears partnered with us to transform a school playground called El Valor in the southeast side of Chicago. And after we were done, it looked like a mini Chicago Bears football field was their playground.
Oh, how
it
cool
was
is
really
that?
Cool.
Nice that you do that as well. I did not know that. Grant is also the president and managing partner of Harry Caray's Restaurant Group, namely the flagship restaurant, of course, on Kinsey and Dearborn. There's a lot of history there, and we're going to talk about that and more with Grant DePorter next on 720 WGN.
Hey, take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Grant DePorter of Gateway Green and Harry Caray Restaurants. So you grew up, and I just want to talk to you a little bit about this. You grew up at the Hyatt Hotel where your dad was an executive. You got exposed to Chicago sports just by meeting some of the people that went through that hotel.
Right. Well, my dad, you know, the Hyatt Regency Chicago is the largest Hyatt, I think, in the world, 2,100 rooms, and the largest hotel in Chicago.
Yeah.
And my dad really embraced sports. So all the sports teams, when they were playing, you know, whether it be football teams, baseball teams, basketball, were always staying at the hotel. So I got to meet all the players. He hosted the NBA awards in the hotel. So I got to go into the green room and hang out with people like Michael Jordan or Magic Johnson.
When you were a kid.
When I was a kid, just walk around and say, hey, can I have your autograph?
Yeah.
And my dad was friends with American League umpire Ken Kaiser, and he would take me to the White Sox games and bring me in the locker room and say, hey, kid, help yourself to whatever you see. So I remember one day I walked in and saw Chet Lemon's locker, and I saw bats, and I walked up and started grabbing all of his bats, and Chet Lemon runs up to me and said, hey, kid, what are you doing? And then Ken gets involved and said, hey, I'm behind home plate tonight, Chester. Do you have a problem with the kid taking your bats?
That's awesome.
And he goes, fine, take whatever you want.
But see, this is why you become a sports fan in general. I mean, you know, people will say very clearly, I'm a Cubs fan, I'm a Sox fan. But I mean, you're both, because I mean, you've met all these people, you've been involved in each organization. They all mean something to you.
Yeah, my first baseball game was a Cub game in 1969 when my dad was coming in to get ready for the Hyatt O'Hare. And I remember, because I was young, it wasn't that much fun for me because everyone was cheering so much. You know, it's Ernie Banks, Billy Williams. Mm-hmm. They were standing the whole time, and I couldn't see over their heads.
But still, what a historic year to be at a baseball game.
Yeah, for my first, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, that's fantastic. You are also deep into history, obviously, which we'll talk about the sports museum in a little bit. But the building that Harry Caray's occupies, when I see your name popping up on Facebook, it gets my attention because I know you're going to tell me a new story or something that you just recently discovered. It's almost 125 years old, the building?
Right, just shy.
Okay. But a ton of history there. When did you start really understanding the history of that building? Was that something more recent or since you started working there?
It's like an onion every time you kind of dig. So we opened in 1987.
Right.
And 11 years after you opened, 1998, an electrician was drilling through a wall and it went through too quickly, the drill bit. And he said, "Something, this is hollow. Something's back there." We ended up finding a hallway that led to an 85-foot room in our building that we didn't know existed.
Wow.
Yeah, because then we later learned that Frank Nitti, Capone's enforcer, owned our building and his family owned it for 30 years from like the late 1930s.
Oh, that's a lot longer than I thought. Okay.
Yeah. So he ran the mob for 11 years after Capone went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
His wife was Al Capone's lawyer's secretary.
He was an ass kicker.
Yeah. Al Capone's lawyer's name, Ed O'Hare. He was the lawyer for Capone, but he was also the secret witness that turned on Capone. She was that lawyer. Ed O'Hare's son is Butch O'Hare. O'Hare Airport's named after him. So the O'Hare family and the Nittys were actually quite close. Frank Nitti's wife was at the dedication of O'Hare Airport because of their close family ties.
Wow.
But every time I open a wall, all of a sudden like an address book fell out one time and it was, had mobster home phone numbers in it along with aldermen's home phone numbers in it.
Did you call any of them?
I did, but yeah. Back then, though, it was like a couple letters, you know, like two letters and then five numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So we didn't get anyone answering. We found a safe in a wall. We found just different things. And then this last November, we were clearing out a closet that was filled with machinery that we hadn't ever touched. And we pulled it out, and we found a bricked-in door. So I didn't just
that open you didn't know was there until recently.
No, I just last November, I see the bricked-in door. But I didn't want to just open it up and see what I found. So I went to the Chicago History Museum, and they helped me do some research. And we found plans. That was actually Frank Nitti's vault that was bricked in. So once that got out, I got calls from all over national news. Everyone wanted to investigate. Like CNN International was just there.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we keep finding more and more bricked in cabinets. We don't know what could be there. Jimmy Hoffa could be there.
But I like that you're kind of taking your time with some of these things a little bit, because I know you put like microscopes through some things and cameras and so forth just to kind of see first what might be in there. Is there a box or a safe or something that you haven't explored yet?
Yeah. So well, I got an endoscope, like you would if you were going to do heart surgery, crawl through the walls. Because you didn't want to do what like Geraldo did, where you just open it up and on national television find that it's empty.
So it was a lesson learned.
Yes, yeah, so we did an endoscope, and we did see a wood box inside the vault. And so I tried doing a little more research, and I accidentally triggered an internal avalanche on top of the box with brick. So now I pretty much have to take the whole wall down to get to that box.
Right.
So I'm still deciding how I want to do that.
Now, the new speakeasy that's upstairs in Harry Caray's, was that Harry's old office or what was that?
And did
you discover that later or was that always there since you've been there?
No, so our building during the Prohibition was a speakeasy. Capone's guy actually owned half or at least half our building and Nitti had the other half.
Mm-hmm.
Capone's guy used it for liquor distribution before, during, and after Prohibition. And it was a speakeasy during that time. We actually, our building was the largest provider of illegal slot machines for a number of decades and was raided by the police multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So it had a lot of secrets. And we thought turning Harry's office into a speakeasy, well, that's what Harry would have liked. Harry was around.
I would think so, yeah.
Harry was around during Prohibition. Harry had to limit his drinking to days that started with T, Tuesday, Thursday, today, and tomorrow. Prohibition would not stop Harry.
So
we did turn it. We put it behind like a hidden bookshelf, and we found pictures of our building, from that era, along with Frank Nitti's family photos.
Yeah, didn't you just get that from somebody from the Nitti family? Didn't you just meet some folks?
Yeah, so what happened was once I discovered the hidden vault, I went on the news and said, if I find money there, I'll split it half with Frank Nitti's family.
Oh, look at you.
And then shortly thereafter, I met 18 family members.
I bet you did.
But they're actually the greatest people. We became all good friends, and they've told me a lot of stories and shared. You know, it's been the first people to have dinner in the new Nitti speakeasy were Frank Nitti's three grandchildren.
Wow. So did they have pictures of the building with their grandparents and stuff in there that they showed
well, I have a picture of Frank Nitti's daughter-in-law posing in front of our building they gave me a lot of photos of the building from back then. Told me stories about the family compound in Michigan that had like a moat in front in case the police were coming, with escape tunnels, incinerators. And they did say that one time the feds raided and tore down walls, and the walls were filled with money. So that's why they think there could be money behind this bricked-in door.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, very cool. Obviously, into sports history, as we talked earlier, specifically baseball history, the Bartman ball really put you out in the forefront, because I remember I think I was down there actually for it. It was the Today Show was there, weren't they?
Yeah,
right?
Everyone.
Yeah.
No, the Today Show four times, but
yeah.
Lester Holt actually called. I was on live television for he was you know talking to me for the Today Show. It was a you know via satellite, and he said that Katie and him want me to blow up the ball in New York live on the Today Show, and I had to turn him down. I said it has to be done.
Yeah, too.
It has to be done, you know, in Chicago. So they, I heard it cost him like $750,000. The Today Show went live in Chicago the first time in two decades, just because I refused to bring the ball to New York.
Well, you shouldn't have had it. This was about Chicago. It couldn't be done anyplace else.
Yeah, so we were on like the Today Show like four times, ESPN like countless times. Keith Olbermann did like, you know, he does the count. He did his countdown show.
Yeah.
We were one through five. We were the ESPN's top 10. We were one through 10.
You are the king marketer in this town, I got to tell you right now. The whole sports museum idea, I mean, you were collecting things really for years. You have a newspaper collection, don't you?
I think I have the largest newspaper collection in Chicago. Going back to the 1800s.
Wow.
Yeah, because what happened is all the newspapers went to microfilm, and they thought there was no value to the hard copy papers, and they were going to throw them in landfills. And a friend of mine was an airline pilot and flew around, not just Chicago, he flew around the country and grabbed all the papers. He really was a giant Cubs fan, so he really was trying to collect it there. But, you know, as a he was a baseball fan, but as a backstory, he ended up with every paper. And then he got older and said, I'll give them all to you for free as long as you let me eat corned beef sandwiches at Harry Carey's for free for the rest of my life. And so he gave them to me.
That's a deal.
It's never ending. Like, I have a paper that says, oh, the Titanic sank. Don't worry, folks. Everyone is safe. And then
they
had to do a retraction 3 hours later, you know, like 1,300 dead.
When did you start collecting that stuff? Were you a kid at that point, or were you an adult collecting these papers?
Well, no, that's more adult after I met him. And then I wrote a book, you know, called Hoodoo, based on all the 1908 papers, trying to figure out the you know mystery of you know the 100 years of the mystery of the curse of the Cubs.
Yeah,
It felt like it had to be more than the Billy Goat, and it was.
Yeah.
I identified Charles Murphy as the source.
Yeah, you did. You absolutely did. Sports Museum in the seventh floor of Water Tower is spectacular. So much fun. It's very interactive. Tell folks about some of the things that you have there, some of your prized possessions.
Well, we have Michael Jordan's hoop that when he made his final shot as a Chicago Bull. It was against the Utah Jazz when they won their sixth NBA championship. Mm-hmm. I have Sammy Sosa's corked bat. I have David Ross's catcher's gear from Game 7. You know, he was the emotional favorite when the Cubs won the World Series. But I have the largest, I think, collection of Cubs World Series memorabilia, like Chris Bryant's shoes from the final out when he slipped in the mud. The shoes came with the mud. I actually sent those to the FBI crime lab and McCrone Associates, and we figured out that Harry Carey's face and the Cubs logo were in the dirt. The image was in the dirt. So we thought it was divine intervention that Harry Carey helped the Cubs win the World Series.
That's awesome.
But we have like Walter Payton's final touchdown football. I mean, really all
these were part of your personal collection at first, weren't they? Some of them?
A lot, just like growing up in the Hyatt. Like I have, you know, like going back years. I have a baseball signed by Hank Aaron to me in 1973, right before he broke the record.
So your wife is obviously your life partner. Do you even tell her about some of the stuff that you buy?
No, well, that's the funniest story is when I went trying to get the infamous foul ball from 2003.
Yeah.
And it was being auctioned off at $5,000, and she's saying, oh, you can't go more than five. And then I said, I got her in Dutchie Carey to let me go to $30,000. And then it was late at night, and I told my wife, I'm done, because she's screaming at me, you got to stop. And so she went to bed. I went to bed. The second I noticed she was asleep, I went right back and got it for almost $113,000.
I remember.
Then she was screaming at me extra loud the next morning.
I bet she was. But you can it's $10 to get in the museum, but if you're eating at the restaurant, you get a ticket to get in.
Yeah, it's free.
That's fantastic.
It's included with the meal.
I love that.
About 23,000 square feet in Water Tower Place.
And again, if you want to attend this year's Green Tie ball, you can visit gatewaygreen.org.
Right.
Friday, September 13th.
The party of the year.
Party of the year.
You know, it's $150 for regular tickets, $450 for VIP. But it, I mean, look at the value. I mean, it starts at 6:30, goes to midnight with all that entertainment, food, beverage, and a casino. And there's an after party at Tao.
Of course there's an after party.
Yeah. Tao has been very supportive. So
that's awesome.
They're going to greet all the guests and do some fun stuff for them.
You're a cool guy, Grant DePorter.
Thank you, David.
Right. Top stories are next on 720 WGN.